Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. He is worthy to be praised, church. Eternal God, we just come in the name of Jesus. We come to magnify your name, O God. We come to lift you up, O God. We come to give praise and glory unto you, dear God. So, Lord, we thank you for what you are about to do. We thank you that your presence is here right now, O God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that hearts are prepared for your word right now, O God. We thank you, O God, for you are great and you are mighty, O God, and you are righteous, O God, and you are holy, O God, and you are just, O God, and you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords, and we will forever give you all the praise and all the glory. So, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you will decrease me and increase you in me. Decrease you in your people and increase in your people that you may get all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I sat back there today, I was listening to the songs and listening to Pastor and thinking about all the things that's been taking place within the body of Christ. I have been heartbroken over what we see. But I come to realize that what is taking place is God doing a mighty work within his people. But as his people, we have to know and understand exactly what is God doing. We living in a time where darkness is seems to be prevailing. We're living in a time where things are getting worse and worse. But the church, who are carriers of God's glory and God's light, seems to be getting misled, deceived, tricked, bamboozled by the enemy. But I am here to tell you that what we really see is just an illusion. The body of Christ seems to be coming against each other when we already have an enemy that is trying to kill us. But if we, as the body of Christ, will open up our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears, then we will truly know what is taking place. Some people say that the church is losing its power, but I say that's a lie from hell. What the church is losing is its status in religion. Religion is what God has taken out of the church. The power is still there. But if we understand as individuals and as a body that our walk should be a holy walk, that my enemy is not you and I'm not your enemy, but the enemy is the devil. So what I am trying to say here, it is war. And we have to engage ourselves in the war. How do we do that? Number one, we have to stay prayerful. Number two, we have to cast down those thoughts and imagination that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And number three, without the word, we can do nothing. I understand that times are hard. I understand that we have issues as individuals. I understand that God may show some of us each other's issues. But it's not my place to condemn you for your issue. But it is my place to build you up. It is my place to intercede on behalf of what God is showing me. But if we as a church don't begin to bind together, number one, in love, how can we be effective in the world? You see, the church has something that is unique. We share the Holy Spirit. I don't care where you at in the world, if you have accepted Christ, you possess His Spirit. Now, what that has done is binded us together. So what that makes you and I is family. So how can family come against each other? If the Spirit is what makes us one, if I talk about you, I'm talking about myself. If the Spirit is what makes us one, then I possess the same power that you possess. The Bible says that the same power that lives in me raised Jesus from the dead. So, church, I'm here to tell you right now that we possess something that is trying to break through. So we have to begin to humble ourselves, submit ourselves to the Word of God. Religion is dying. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I had a dream last Sunday. No, it wasn't a dream. Last Sunday, 6:15 a.m., I heard God say, "The box can be broken, but who's going to break through the box?" And I raised up out of my bed. Okay, Lord, what does that mean? Help me to understand what that means. You see, in the box, it's where religion is. It's where slander is. It's where oppression is. It's where suicide is. All those things that is holding the body of Christ from manifesting the power of God. We in the box. It's the way we preach, the way we teach. But outside the box is the flow of the Holy Spirit. Outside the box is where freedom is. Outside the box is where deliverance is. Outside the box is where joy is. Outside the box is where unity is. So I began to pray, Lord, help us. Help me to look at me. Help you to look at you. Then I won't have time to look at them, and they won't have time to look at me. Lord, help me not to worry about how the singer is singing. Help me not to worry about how the ushers are ushering. Help me not to worry about what someone else is saying. Because why? I am here to worship the King. So we as a church, we have to begin to be unified in the Spirit, to be worshipers by the Spirit. Thursday, Pastor asked a question. Pastor said, what does quantum leap mean? So I began to look at an article that was written in February in Charisma. The article says, part of it, quantum leap is described as an abrupt movement of an electron from one radiant energy level to another with no smooth transition.
no in between. An electron will build up energy and become excited, then will suddenly jump or leap to another level, to orbit another atom. As it does, the photons emit a burst of light. It goes from point A to point B with no in between. Once it makes its jump, it finds a place of stability, then begins to build energy once again to work up for the next leap. In a quantum leap moment, bam, everything changes. It is a suddenly seasoned field with light, energy, and power. The definition of quantum leap is a sudden and significant change or increase, something sudden, spectacular, vitally important, a sudden, highly significant advance. What God is trying to do is quantum leap all of us. He's trying to take us from glory to glory. And if we don't understand that we need to get what God is doing right now, that we need to look at ourselves and change our ways, we're not going to leap. But I'm here to declare that you all are going to leap, because you possess His Spirit, because we know and we understand what God is doing. See, the leap is taking place when we submit ourselves to our King, when we begin to love like He is trying to get us to love. Because He, like Pastor said earlier, He's coming back soon. So what God is trying to do is prepare us for the world. For you are John the Baptist. You are John the Baptist for the return of Christ. The first John the Baptist was for the coming of Christ. You are being prepared for the return of the King. So within the quantum leap, I'm going to keep going. It says, in quantum mechanics, scientists have found that there are two realms of reality. One is called the present, which is the life we are living. The second realm is considered to be the realm where everything is possible. It is described as a reality in which there is infinite possibilities and unlimited potential. As scientists have studied this quantum realm, they have widely concluded this earth we live in and all of humanity could not just have occurred by chance, but rather there has to have been a designer or a creator. So in the quantum leap, how I understand it in the earth realm is the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, there is supernatural things taking place. In the kingdom of God, there is healing, there is deliverance, and there is salvation. So the world is waiting on us, church. It's waiting on us to submit. It's waiting on us to move from one place to the next place. I'm reminded of Philip. Was it Philip? After he got finished talking to the Enoch, the Ethiopian, what happened? He translated from one place to the next place, and it wasn't no in between. See, that's the quantum leap. That's part of the quantum leap. But do we understand what the quantum leap is? Are we looking at ourselves, or am I looking at Bishop? Where Bishop at? Am I looking at the minister right here? Am I looking at his faults? Am I criticizing the way he played? You know, am I not liking the way he played? He ain't playing loud enough. But I shouldn't worry about that, because I'm here to glorify him for me. So no matter how much he prays, I am here to lift up my hands. I read the mission statement, Consuming Fire mission statement Thursday. You know, it kind of like draw my attention. And most of us here at consuming fire. We come from somewhere else. So in other words, we're not any new Christians. We have a background. So when we come to consuming fire, I believe that God sent most of us here. So if we're not getting what God is trying to get us to get, then shame on us. Because we are here for a reason. If I can remember, part of that mission statement says that we are here to ignite, to set a fire. So what that means to me is when I set on fire, you set on fire. When she set on fire, the next person set on fire. And then the fire is supposed to move from here to the world. See, it's about the marketplace. It ain't about the inside of the church. This is just a place where we get our training. But the marketplace is where the people are. And we have to understand that. Fire. Fire spreads. And it spreads quickly. It spreads quickly. So adjust your mind. Change your mindset. A couple of weeks ago, Shauna says, choose life or choose death. What are we going to choose? Choose life. Because life lives in us. You know, I think it's a shame when you see the body of Christ are gifted. You know, everybody is gifted. You know, but we begin to shrink back because we don't like what we see or we don't understand what is taking place. We shrink back and say, okay, I'm going to sit down for this, or, you know, I'm not going to go here, you know. But the problem is, what you see is God doing a work. Like I said, he's trying to get us out of religion. See, we say we want to come out of religion, but when we see something change up here, then we don't like it. We don't like it. But it's God that's doing the changing. You know, we have to understand that this life is supposed to be spirit-led. It's not orchestrated to be A, B, C, and D. I had to get up here today. I didn't know what I was going to say. But for me, that was the excitement. Because I understand that God is doing something supernatural. I understand that I can depend on him. Because see, this is based on the promise. This is based on the promise. Don't worry about what you're going to say when you get here. But I will give you the words to speak. I was so comfortable last night not knowing what I was going to say. I was so comfortable today coming up here not knowing what I was going to say. Church, this is part of my gift. But you are gifted too. My gift needs to complement your gift. Your gift needs to complement my gift. If I am called to sing, I need to be up here singing. If I am called to preach, I need to be up here preaching. If I am called to usher, I need to usher to the glory of our King. But when we shrink back, how can God do his work? How can we manifest his power? And I thought about the quantum leap. When we go back to the quantum leap and the jumps, it says every time there's a jump, you know, and their land, there's a burst of light. It reminded me of the dunamis power. Because dunamis power, it relates, it's almost like it's a reference to a bomb, an explosion. You know, and each time you land, there's an explosion. So there's a more manifestation of God here, a bigger manifestation of God here, a bigger manifestation of God here. So what's our problem? What is our problem, church? Are you looking at me or are you looking at you? Am I looking at you or am I looking at me? So we all in this together. There is no I, you know, it's us. We are body. We are body. And if everyone in here is full of power, we're full of power. full of power. But if I have an ought against you, that power is just going to be stagnated. You see, we have it all, everything, we have everything that pertains to life and godliness that lives in us right now. But if I'm not expressing love, if I'm not seeking love, if I'm not seeking God to help me to love, then how can I exemplify power? Because the power is based on, the manifestation of the power is based on how you love, how we treat one another. You know, and sometimes, you know, I had to really get that because, you know, I have issues with people. You know, I mean, I'm real. I have issues with people sometimes. You know, but I have to say, God, forgive me and help me with those issues. Because I need to walk in the power because there is an audience for me that I need to get to. There's an audience for you that you need to get to. I don't know who read, I don't know if it was Val Knight or Val Robinson, but they read about the fivefold ministries. When they got ready to pray, it was about the fivefold ministries. I believe what God is doing right now. See, religion tells us that the pastor has it all. But if I understand what God is doing in this time and in this season, when I think about the fivefold ministry, they all work together. You see, the pastor needs the prophet needs the pastor, the prophet and pastor needs the apostle, the evangelist is in there too, and everything is working together. But see, that's because that's the age that we're coming to. The whole entire body of Christ is working together, working to reach a dying world that is getting crushed by the enemy. Crushed by the enemy. You got pastors committing a suicide because of the things that is taking place. Intercessors, where we at? Prayer meetings all the time. And I say that. I say this all the time. And you don't necessarily have to be here to pray. But why not be here to pray? You know, if the saints is coming together to pray, that's just more power. Just intercede. If you can't be here every week or whatever, come when you can. That's all I'm saying, you know. But we can be still unified in the spirit. We have to understand that there are people that is waiting for you and I to manifest. So wherever you at right now, we need to really examine our hearts and our mind. We need to really look and see, Lord, show me. Show me where I am falling short. Because I do have a love in my heart, but I may not know how to manifest that love. So show me how to love so you can be seen. So you can be seen in the workplace. So you can be seen walking down the street. For you say that I am a carrier of your glory. You say, Lord, that the light is in me. So are we shining? Are we shining, or is there a dim light? There's another question I was asked too on Thursday. Pastor asked the question, how could you distinct? The Bible says the angel manifests itself as an angel of light. So Pastor asked this question, how can you distinguish the true light from a faulty light? And I forgot all what was said, but you know. What I believe, and me and my wife was talking about this yesterday, what I believe, the distinguishing factor of the manifestation of God's light and the false manifestation of the enemy's light, God's light draws. God's light sucks you in. God's light is illuminated. And it's filled with love. See, the enemy can't portray love because ain't no love in it. So he can't portray love. So if God is the Father of lights and we are his children with light, that's how we can distinguish the enemy's false light. Because the same light that God has, I have. So let me look at my heart and make sure that it's lining up with the Father of lights. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God is doing great and mighty things right now, church. So are we ready? Are we ready to move? Are we ready to ask him to do great and mighty things in us? Because the work is quick. See, the quantum leap is quick. It ain't, like I said, it's no in between. It's quick. You know, God is patient. He's patient, but patience run out. Everyone's patience run out at some time. Because why? He got to keep moving. He got to keep doing his word, got to keep manifesting. Amen? So are we ready? Are we ready? You know. I'm called to. He said, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith, to see if you're lining up with my word. We're not perfect people, but we do possess his spirit. So there should be some conviction in our heart somewhere about some things. Somewhere, you know, unless you are deceiving yourself and others. You know, and we do that sometimes. But God is saying no more. No more. He's saying you are my people. You are a holy nation. You are a royal priesthood. And I'm doing something great in you because I need you to reach people outside the church. So learn what you're going to learn inside the church so we can take it out there to the world. We have young people. Our young people, they need to know who God truly is. Because they're the next generation. See, we're the beginning stage of the manifestation of the glories of God. But I believe they're the ones, my grandson, these young people, they're going to be the ones who really show forth God's glory in the earth. So we need to get ready. Amen? Like Pastor said, you know, all these denominations, you know, that's God even, he's killing all that. He's killing all that. Y'all think, we tend to think that what's going on, and it is bad. I'm not saying it's not bad. It is, things are rough out there. But it's God that's doing the work. It's God. Ephesians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Father, in the name of Jesus, I cast down the spirit of deception over God's people right now. In the name of Jesus, we can no longer afford to be deceived or deceive ourselves. Father, in the name of Jesus, let your glory rest on your people. Let a spirit of unity be residing in this house, O God, that we may take it out to the world, that they may see your face, O God. This is where we have to be, church. You know, I don't have to stand up here long. You know. You don't have to stand up here long to say what God needs you to say. It don't take a long time. It don't take a long time. God has so much love for his people. So much patience. We can't even imagine. I can't even understand it. Because we steady treat him like I would treat you. Pastor used to always say, and he still said, we bring God on our level. No, what'd he say? We bring God down to off the throne. We bring God off the throne. He said it. So we bring God off the throne. Okay, Lord, help me to understand that. When we shrink back, when we stop saying we're going to not do something, what we just have done has brought God right here. What that means is I'm treating God like I would treat anybody else. Not like the Creator. Not like the one who shed his blood for me. Not like the one who gave me eternal life. Not like the one who sustains my life. But I brought him right here because I can't understand what he's doing in my life. God is holy. He is holy, and we not treat him like he's holy. Because we think we brought him down here. But he's still on the throne. He still sits high. He's still sitting high. Amen? So evaluate yourself. William Anthony Lynn, evaluate yourself. Because I'm in the same boat as everyone else. Evaluate yourself. But you know what I see? I see a great army. I see a great army of God's people. And they fighting. And they won already, but you still got to go through the fight. It's the great army. I see the great army. That's what Ezekiel was talking about. And a great army rose up. I see you. And you winning. Amen. Amen. That's all I got to say. I'm done. God is good.